Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters, May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Don't Blame Me. We are an advice podcast where you call in with your advice and then we give you some of our fantastic advice. And while our advice may be fantastic, we are also not professional advice givers, which what's a therapist? What's the real term for
a therapist
or a psychic, a life coach? So we are not professionals by any means. The only thing we are professional bitches, professional cunts, professional friends. Well, no, that sounds like you get paid to be a friend. And
yeah, I mean, sort of.
Sure, I get. I get.
I mean, there's a lot of off the clock things that we do too.
Facts. So please take all of our advice with a grain of salt or an entire bowl of salt or however much salt that you want, because we're just trying to help and we give advice like we do. We give advice to each other because we're friends, but like we give advice to any of our close friends. So think of us like your big sisters or your little sisters because we're so youthful and young. And just know that we come at it from like a tough love perspective. And if you don't like our advice, have fun.
Yeah.
Buckle up. So I am joined by my co-host and producer and the glue to my glitter, Melissa D. Moms.
Hello.
We are quite the dynamic duo. You did see the edit that I made of us as Cher and Dion.
Yes.
I've been collecting other images, ones that we've like shared between each other, being like, look, it's us. Someone's using our like our image to promote something. And I'm photoshopping our faces into everything.
Love it.
So it's a good time. This is what happens when you're in a pandemic and you can't take pictures together.
Yes. Oh, I miss you.
I know. It's so...
Oh, I finally got all my meat in, so I will bring you a roll.
Would you like to share with the class about your meat?
Got this big old thick dick. No, I buy meat from Wisconsin, bison meat, and have it shipped to me every few months. And this order, they had a special on the ground meat, the ground bison. So I got 12 pounds.
I want you to also know, how tall are you, by the way? Just to refresh.
Five, almost one.
And she lives alone. So 12 pounds of bison.
It's a lot. But it was on special, and I was like, you can freeze it. And bison, actually, like, even in the fridge, it lasts longer than other meats. Mm-hmm. And because it doesn't have that much fat in it. So, like, when you cook it, doesn't shrink up. Also, yep. Got some bacon and some hot dogs. The hot dogs.
Oh, you love the hot dogs.
I love the hot. Actually, this is the first time I've had hot. Like, I love hot dogs as a whole, but this is the first time I've had the bison ones. And they're so flavorful that you don't have to put anything on them.
Oh, I'll have to order some.
Yeah.
Does it come in dry ice?
Yeah. That's why it's taking so long to ship, because as things trickle down, people are driving less. So, like, the production of dry ice, because it comes from something with gas or something. I don't understand it. But dry ice production comes from something with, like, people driving and gas and stuff. And so since people are doing that less, then there's a shortage of dry ice. So it takes longer for things to ship out.
Whoa. Yeah. Very interesting. Dry ice always. I'm like, what a cool, weird thing.
It is so weird.
I loved it as a kid. I was like, I want to touch it.
And you're
don't
like,
touch it.
No, I put my hand in to get, I don't think it was this, it was my daily harvest order to get something out, and my hands like stuck to the box and it was burned.
It's terrifying.
Yeah.
Like it's not a good time.
No.
If you guys want to call in for an upcoming episode, you can leave us a voicemail at 310-694-0976. And international listeners, you can send us an audio message at meganpodcast@gmail.com. If you are new here or you're a regular listener, if you're a regular listener, you know that we have our new format where we usually start the episode with a callback. And if you're new here, we usually start the episode with a callback. But, a little behind the scenes magic. We do our first callback. We do our callback before we start recording the rest of the episode. And we got off the Zoom with her and we recorded for 45 minutes because we have to include all of it. So we're going to put it at the second half of this episode. And when we say that this is the most wild update we've ever had.
Like she's called in several times and we didn't realize she was the same person. And so it's like a lot of culmination of the different calls that she's had. And update is a lot.
And she even said too that she called in. We didn't listen to that. You didn't listen to them. I don't listen to the updates in general because, again, I am the glitter, not the glue. But you said she updated four different times with calls. Which is like,
because she was doing like live stuff as it was happening. So
it's literally like a saga over all of this time.
Like 2 years.
Yeah. And it's, oh my God, you're right. 2 years. Holy shit. Yeah. This is like a 2 year. We got a 2 year breakdown from a call that we got. Yeah.
From several calls. Yeah.
Several calls. And the first call was years ago. Mm-hmm. And it's wild. She is an inspiration to us all.
Yeah. So the whole B block is dedicated to her.
Yes. And don't skip ahead because you're going to want to hear these calls and this advice, but get excited. But then we'll be back to our normal format, you know, unless later on down the road we get a call back from, we get a multi-day saga about the girl whose husband was in a coma or the one whose ex-boyfriend accidentally killed someone. Wild times.
Oh, tomorrow is election day.
Oh, vote. Yep. Tomorrow's election day. Vote
if
Biden.
If you haven't voted early, yeah.
Vote blue up and down the ticket. It is not a time to vote for any vote that is not for Biden is a vote for Trump. And if you want to argue that, have fun. I'm not responding. And do your research for this. Make sure your vote counts. And if you're feeling disheartened with everything that your vote doesn't count, your vote does. Mm-hmm. And the surefire way your vote won't count is if you don't vote.
Right.
So vote for, if you are someone who looks like me, vote for people who don't look like us, and vote for the interests of people's lives, humans that are living and breathing and walking this earth, and cut out all of the shit people in your life. And let's all hope that everything goes the way that we want it to go. And feel free to unplug for a couple days after. Like, yeah. It's going to be
pending. Huh.
Fuck.
I know.
Should we get into it?
Yeah.
Hey, Megan and Melissa. I just wanted to ask about, what do you do when you're in a toxic work environment? How do you handle that the right way? Because I've been in so many different jobs that just don't treat me right, and I just walk off. That's all I do. But I'm in one right now. They offered me more pay up front, but I just saw my pay stub and I'm not getting that. Basically, I'm like a contractor, I guess. I don't know what the word is, but I go to many different like work locations per day, and I like clean, and I'm paid for the cleaning, but I'm not paid for the driving. And the job description did mention that I would be paid for the driving, but it's just not happening. And they told me this after I did my paperwork that, by the way, you're not going to get paid for driving because that's your break time. And like, I kind of get it, but not really, because I'm there 40 hours a week, but I'm only getting paid for 20 hours that I'm actually cleaning. So I don't know how to go about saying, hey, you need to pay me for like the time I'm here, because this is taking time away from my actual life. And I had to get a second job on top of this just to pay my bills. Everybody there has a second job because we can't get by on just this job alone. But I feel like we feel like we can't quit or something. It's very weird. Like, I want to quit and I don't know why I don't. They have a really big social media presence, this company, and they always are talking about how awesome we are. They gave me like a measuring cup with their company logo on it. They keep giving us like free shit with a logo on it. And I'm like, you could use that money to pay us more. That would be something. And I just don't know how to deal with this. This is kind of a temporary job. I'm in my 20s and I just need something to get me by for now. But I know in future there will be things like this that come up, and how do I deal with them? Thank you for listening. Hope to hear from you or whatever. Goodbye.
First of all, let us know what this service is, if they've got like a big following. I'm curious to know, because it is, that was, I think, something really helpful for when Uber like drivers like came out and talked, and Uber and Lyft, but like this happens all the time, but like independent contractors through companies and that stuff, when they came forward and were like, hey, X, Y, and Z is not great, it gives the consumers that choice. Mm-hmm. And understanding. I mean, my first thing I would say too, if you're cleaning like what's it called? Like commercial buildings versus like independent like homes and that stuff. If you're cleaning independent homes, I would like have your own like business card or something like that, and just to say like, hey, like if any point like you just want to hire, I don't know, if maybe if it's not, if you don't have that written in your contract that you can't do that, like, hey, here's this, or like, here's my like work number, like myself, if you have like a cell phone number, like that you're comfortable giving out to like the people that you're working with, and saying like, hey, if you need any, like, let me know if you want to schedule, you can just also just text me, and then you're not on work hours, like poaching clients or whatever. But like my, like the first time I ever hired like a handyman and like stuff, like things like that. Like they very much were like through services. And then they were like, hey, heads up, we like don't get paid well. It's kind of shit. Yeah. Like, here's my personal number. And then I'm like, oh, great, cool. Then I can just pay you personally and I don't have to pay the middleman through that kind of stuff. But that also doesn't, that's just more of along the lines of like, if you can take some clients and people that you're working for, that can help like support you if you do like to find another job that like,
but could you also have over. To be careful with that because it could break the rules yeah, of if what's it going on, which, yeah. you know, I used to do TaskRabbit back in the day and, you know, I'd have people say like, hey, I'll hire you for this and then pay you like without going through TaskRabbit. And I had somebody do this one time and then they ended up like not paying me the fair amount. And there's no way to compensate. Yeah. Like you can't go back because there's no protection. Like TaskRabbit, if I was doing it straight through TaskRabbit, then they would have still paid me and then like, you know, laid down the law with the person's credit card. So you have to be careful with that.
Oh, I didn't even. Oh, people suck.
People do suck.
Damn.
But you can report this to if they told you that you were going to get paid for this. It, have all the paperwork where they said like they were going to pay you for it, and you can report this to the Department of Labor, and you can also have the other people that work there, like you guys can go as like a group, and if all of you are complaining about this, then you can get back compensated for it.
And I would also say, make sure you leave, regardless of like, if you like, whatever you end up doing, make sure you like leave reviews on their like Glassdoor and like say these kinds of things, because if they are misrepresenting like that the job like online or however you applied, and then I don't know, like if they're not like abiding by your contract, or if like right before you signed your contract they were like, oh psych, blah blah blah, blah. Or you just took in good faith that everything you discussed would be in the contract and like they didn't, write that like on Glassdoor reviews of like they're like misrepresenting like what the job is and like what the requirements are, and like they make it seem like, oh, you're gonna get paid for X, Y, and Z, and like you don't. But also I don't know what the exact I should probably know, because like technically I'm an independent contractor when I work for like other, when I do other things that aren't mine.
Well, you're not an independent contractor, they're hiring your company. So then you're they're hiring your company. So they're actually, you're not actually an independent contractor.
You're right. I've been, before I had a company, I've been an independent contractor. Mm-hmm. And, I don't think even in regards to an independent contractor that your breaks can be used. Like, that's like, if it's like, oh, it's your breaks to use to get in between to other stuff. Like, what is there like hourly, how like legally, how many breaks do you have to have, like based on like, you know, like not like the union, but like legally how many breaks do you have to have? And then also if you can like look into like the specifics of like what a break entails, like legally you do have rights in that, and if they are skating by on that. Because also there's something that like sometimes companies do shit that's not legal and they just assume that you're not going to know, and they're just going to say it with confidence.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. It needs to be reported. If they told you up front that you were going to be compensated for your time for driving, then you need to report this to the Department of Labor. If they did not say that, they like maybe alluded to it but didn't actually say it, then as an independent contractor, you don't have to be paid for things that you were not actually on the job for.
Yeah. And I think like,
if you're an employee and you are doing this all on the clock, then you do have to be compensated for that.
Yeah. And I think if you're feeling like you don't want to, like you want to quit, but you're not doing it, that to me is, they sound like they're guilting you, and like they're making like you feel like, oh, they're probably saying things like, oh, we're a family here. And like, when someone says, when the company is like saying all of that stuff, when you refer to a job as a family, unless I have equity in the company, I'm not a part of your family. Mm-hmm. Like, this is not a family, because at the end of the day, if you sell this company, who's making money? You, not me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to invest that side. Like, don't have me invest in it like it is my own family when you're just going to like take the kids away. Like, that's like, it's not that. So know that like, that kind of like manipulation and guilt tripping sort of things that make you feel like you don't want to quit, or Also, I'd say you sound like you have like a good relationship with your coworkers. There's also trauma bonding there where it becomes like, oh, I don't want to like leave these people here. And like, we've really bonded through all of this and all of that stuff. But I think the best, like, if you are not able to get compensated for this kind of stuff, then I quit and then like moving forward when you ask like, how do I like these situations are going to happen again? Stand up for yourself, do the research.
Make sure you have everything in writing before signing a contract.
And read the contract. And you don't have to like hire an outside lawyer to read contracts. But if you have a friend who, even if it's not someone who's professionally, someone just a second set of eyes who can catch things. Like I do, like with even with writing, like someone who can check spelling errors and things like that. Like just having a second set of eyes can be really great. And then always with contracts in general, I read all of my own contracts. I'm not a lawyer. I have a lawyer, but anything that I don't fully understand, even you and I have done this with contracts with each other. We've been on FaceTime and like, we're both reading, like, I don't really get this. And we Google it and we're trying to figure all that stuff out. I go into every contract being skeptical that someone's trying to rip me off.
Yeah.
And never taking the first offer with that kind of stuff. And then at the end of the day too, if someone's treating you like you're disposable, most likely you are disposable in their minds. And that has nothing to do with you. That has everything to do with them. And then find another job, because you don't have to tolerate that kind of stuff. And if someone else will tolerate it, then someone else can tolerate it.
Yeah.
Like, then fine. Like I don't have to be bullied into doing something that I don't want to do, or is like not the right job for me, or is like not finding, it's not enough for me. And I'm like spreading myself so fucking thin. And if someone else can do this and that's what you're throwing in my face, like then someone else will do it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, best of luck though. And don't ever feel like you owe your company shit.
I'm such an advocate of people, if you can, working for yourself. And, you know, maybe you like look into you and some other people that are part of this and you guys go form your own company, and then you can compensate each other however you want to.
Stick it to the man.
Yeah.
We're very into that. I work with you. You're the person I work with. Well, best of luck. And also, it's not like we do live in a capitalist society that like has made like work so important and everything like that. But you should, I know you're in your early 20s, but focus on how you can have a job that, like, working multiple jobs is not something that people should have to do to survive. And invest the time in trying to find a job that you can work at that doesn't, like, you don't die because you're doing both of those two, like those two different things at the same time. Like, that's so hard. And I don't know if that's like possible, but if there's a way that you can, you know, still have time for yourself and still be able to like not just like live to work and work to live. I mean, not work to live. But best of luck. Stick it to the man. And please slide into our DMs and let us know what this company is. So if you can't put them on blast for this, then we can.
True. All right. On to the next call.
Woo-woo!
I was dating this guy, Jay. He decided that he didn't want to be with me. Well, no. Okay. I asked him if he could see us getting married. He said no. And then I broke up with him-ish. I was just like, I can't do this anymore because I need, you know, I need to feel stable. And I don't feel stable with you if you're not willing to, like, see this as, like, a thing that could be going in the future. And we kept talking and stuff like that. We're still talking to this day. He's still the first person that I call when I'm going through something. And he's always there for me. But I started seeing this guy. I'm going to call him B. And he's, like, artistic, dreamy musician with, and like both of them are musicians, but like B like composes music and Jay is like a producer. So like they're both like, you know, I don't know, I have a thing for musicians, whatever, fuck me. They're all emotional and it sucks. Jay is a Cancer, and Jay is an Aries and B is a Cancer. And B is like really cool and sweet and kind and caring and checks in on me when I need it. But he doesn't check in on me quite as often as Jay does. And maybe it's just because Jay's used to me needing constant reassurance or whatever. But like, Jay's recently expressed that they would like to like be back in a relationship with me, and that they can see me being their forever person. But I developed feelings for B, and B refuses to tell me how they feel about the relationship at all. And they're just like, I really adore you. That's it. That's like the only thing that I'll hear, is like the most I'll hear is like compliments and shit, but like they won't admit that they want to do something or be something. Like, and I know it's because like B has like a lot of emotional issues and shit like that. What cancer male doesn't? Fucking cancer. But like, I don't know. I just don't know. I'm a Pisces, by the way, so I'm all water. I want to love both of them. And I kind of expressed being in an open relationship with Jay before, and he's into it. But the thing is because I'm so like emotional and like insecure, honestly, let's just like blame it up to my insecurity. Let's just chalk it up to what it is. I don't think I could be in an open relationship with him because I'm too in love with him. I don't want him fucking anyone else. But I still want to fuck other people because like he made me feel like I wasn't who he wants forever. So like, now I want, like, I don't know, not that now I want to fuck this other person because of that, but now I met this other person who I want to fuck, and, like, I don't know. It's not, I don't know. It's complicated. That's why I need your help. Thank you, guys. I love you so much. Bye.
I am exhausted.
This is the prime example of what we say to write down calls before.
And also why I like to know your astrological sign, because yeah, you're a Pisces.
So B is the emotional one, and then Jay's the one that wants to be in the relationship but maybe open.
Yes.
And then, but Jay, she didn't want to be in an open relationship until she met B.
Mm-hmm. And Jay and you sort of ended things because he couldn't see himself getting married to you. I'm going to be harsh with you for a second. Are either of these people, I'm not entirely sure what they're, I mean, she said he for both of them.
She said they for B.
B? Okay. So partner. Are you in an official relationship with either of them? And have you ever been? Because like, if Jay,
I think she was with Jay because she said Jay said that they wanted to get back together.
Yeah, but the way that she said it was like they ended things, but not really, kind of, because he didn't want to see them getting married. I think that neither, if you have these insecurities that like, highly insecure person. But if you have insecurities that are surrounded by a singular person, and those insecurities are going to factor into your like if it's like, oh, I didn't have these insecurities and now I do have these insecurities with this person, and therefore that is going to change the kind of relationship I'm going to have with them and get back together. Why? Like you're acknowledging this, like close the door on both of these people. If they wanted to be with you, they would be with you. And maintaining a relationship and checking in on you, I'm going to level with you. That's really not that fucking hard. That's not a lot of effort. Sending you a text message, calling you, checking in with you, like that's not like, don't paint this to be this like huge romantic gesture, because it's not. Like that shit is so fucking easy, so fucking basic. Like you, for all you know, you could be getting catfished. Mm-hmm. Like the people on Catfish are like messaging every day, like all of that kind of shit that like, I think you need to have higher expectations for the people in your life. And I think if you wanted to be with Jay, you wouldn't have feelings for B. And I think, level with you, B doesn't want to be in a relationship with you, and you know that, which is why you're not closing the door on Jay, because you're not secure in either of these things as being it. So when it doesn't feel like it, it's not it. And just because you like think that you, or just if you like, regardless of how you feel about someone, and I don't mean to say this in like a shattering way, But how you feel is 50% of it. Mm-hmm. And how they feel is the other 50%. And you can't change that percent. And right now, you are giving more than 50, hoping that they're going to meet you there. And they're not. They would be putting as much effort into this. I think if you, I think what you will do is I think you will get back into a relationship with Jay and then end up in the same position.
Yeah.
Unless they've.
You Sorry. Just need to, I was just going to say, just take a step back from all of this. Don't be with any one of them. Date yourself for a minute. And also, maybe don't date musicians for a hot second.
Well, also because she never, you never like officially like stopped talking to Jay.
Yeah.
When that happened. And like, what a mind, excuse me, what a, I'm just going to say, they are a shitty person for telling you that they don't see themselves marrying you. And then you guys break up. This is me assuming that you guys were boy, like you guys were in like a partnership. You were in a real a relationship. But if you weren't in a relationship, then I also think you just need to really, really sit with yourself for a while. Mm-hmm. But the fact that they were still talking to you all the time, checking in on you, that's manipulative. Like to say like, yeah, I don't want to marry you. And I like, we're going to like break up, but I'm still going to talk to you every single day, which that does not let you get over them at all. And then they're like, okay, now I'm ready for this back again. And that becomes pick me syndrome, where then you become like, oh, okay, they're picking me. They're picking me. And you don't have any of the power in that situation. Like it is, oh, okay, I stuck around when they told me they didn't want to see, they didn't see a future with me. I stuck around and now they're back saying that they do. And like, I'm like, okay, you picked me. So then that becomes that like solidifying or like validating feeling that you didn't get before. You need to stop talking to both of them and take yep. a long, long, long ass break. Get, go to therapy if you're not already in therapy and like focus on you.
You.
And when somebody likes you, you'll know, and you don't need to ask them. You don't need to like, not ask them, but like you don't need to be constantly, like you said, you're constantly searching for validations because they're not the right relationship. Mm-hmm. You won't need to feel, be constantly searching for that. And if you're constantly searching for validation, hi, very much relate, but that's me. That's something that I work through in therapy. That's something that's like a part of me. It doesn't have to do with the relationships. And if you're finding in every relationship, you're doing that same sort of thing. This is a situation where, okay, maybe your picker's off and maybe you are transferring any sort of like childhood stuff or insecurity stuff into a relationship, which is like when we like test ourselves or whatever. And that is not healthier at all. And stop.
Yeah, just stop it.
Just stop. Watch some movies, read some books. Like you seem to really be like, this is like a fanfic. Like, yeah, you know,
you are relationships shouldn't stress you out as much as this is. And you're very frantic and mm-hmm. trying to get everything out. And it's just like, no, get out of this triangle and just be a dot.
Be a dot. Be a dot.
Or a circle. Every,
yeah. Be a dot. Be a circle. Circle's very masturbating, you know?
Full I know.
Circle,
that's why just... I changed it to that.
Do it. Do it just for you. And take a break from the musicians for a while.
Yeah. Ready for the next one?
Hell yeah.
Hi, Megan and Melissa. Hope you're doing well and staying safe. Here's a little background on me. I'm a straight woman, Gryffindor, Cancer on the cusp of Gemini. I'm calling because I'm hoping to get some advice on how to start therapy. It's something that I've been wanting to do for a couple of years now, but it's also extremely terrifying to me. I've tried to reach out a couple of times to different centers, but they typically don't answer, and I'm quick to hang up before they can even answer the phone. I know one of the first questions they're going to ask is if I prefer a male or female counselor, and I don't really know how to answer that question. Due to some really terrible situations with my sisters and close friends throughout the years, it's really hard for me to trust women. It takes a lot for me to open up to any of my girlfriends, and it's been a huge strain on some of my friendships. It literally took me listening to this podcast for at least 6 months to really trust your input and advice, which I do, by the way. So going to a female therapist
is intimidating and a little daunting to me. However, despite my ability to become friends with men easier, I feel like I also shouldn't have a male therapist because I want to be able to openly talk about sex and relationships in therapy. And getting a man's perspective on that feels almost a little inappropriate to me. So any recommendations on how to A, feel comfortable with therapy in general, and then B, tips on how to find the right therapist would be greatly appreciated. Thanks.
I'll start by addressing the gender therapist wise. My therapy journey started with, and the only therapist I currently see is Mats and I's couples therapist, which reality, she at this point, like we kind of just use her as our individual, like together, but it's helpful because we hold each other accountable. And when she was helping me find my individual therapist that I had for a while, she had recommended that she thought it would be important that I have one who is an older woman who is more maternal, because that was so much of what I was going to be talking about in therapy would be the most helpful in like progress for me to be someone who in this situation was that kind of like, yeah, that same gender, same age range as that. And the fit in itself didn't really work out for her and I, like I don't work with her anymore, but my current therapist, for also like being a woman, that kind of you dealing with your internalized internalized misogyny in a way that like is not, I don't know if there's a better word for it, but like you've had issues with women in your life, and like a lot of your issues now seem to not just stay with those particular women, with like your sister and your mom, that it's traveling into your other, like you have a hard time opening up female friendships. Like you have a hard time, like even taking our advice for the while, because we are women, you have an issue with women, and unpack that with a woman. That in itself, the fact that your therapist being a woman is the most helpful, I personally think, and that's what my therapist had said for that. And if the first one doesn't work out, then that's okay. And I think like how to tell if it's working out or not, I personally think that like there are definitely something that like right off the bat you can tell if you're like, oh, I really don't like you. Like that'll sometimes happen. But then there's other times you're like, I don't know yet. And then it's, I say waiting it out. I think it probably took me 3 months or so before I was like, I just don't like how I could tell was I didn't really value the therapist I had before that I got I don't work with anymore. I didn't really value her opinion. Like there were certain things that I was like, if I told her, I was like, I'm not going to listen to what you have to say, 'cause like, I don't really like it. Like, and I'm correcting you and I'm saying, I don't really like resonate with like X, Y, and Z, but like something happens in my life and I'm more like, oh, I don't want to talk to my therapist about this. And that's like, that's not what it should feel like. With my other therapist, something happens and I'm like, oh, file that away in my brain. I can't wait. I need to talk to her about this, because she even said that she's like, I think that you should think of your therapist, if I wasn't your therapist, that like I would be your friend, like someone who you could just confide in. And like that same sort of like, maybe not excited to like unpack trauma, but if something happens, you value my presence and my opinion enough that like you want to talk about it with me. And that I think is a great way to kind of tell through that. But I personally would say, I think like the hurdle in itself would be having a female therapist. And I think just having a female therapist would be putting in that work for you. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, I also don't trust men as much. And I also, you know, my innate fear, I'm like, well, what if you then suddenly have a therapist who then like a male therapist who, I don't know, is also sexist. I don't know. Like that's just where my brain goes, which is not putting a lot of faith in a male therapist, which is just my own bias.
Yeah. The first therapist I had was male, because it was like at school. So I could only go with who was available. And he was great. And I never felt like he helped me work through a lot of things and helped ease me into therapy. And I never felt like I was in any weird situation or that he made me feel weird or anything. But, you know, when she first started the conversation, I was going to say, focus more on like the relationship and bonding with the therapist as opposed to their gender. But now you've kind of convinced me that maybe she should go to a female to work through her own issues, because she's not going to be able to work through them with the male. But also, like, male and female aren't the only two genders. Like, you could go to somebody that's fluid. You could go to somebody that's non-binary. But yeah, I think the first step, but really the first step is just like going to therapy, and you won't even stay on the phone long enough to talk to the people to put you through therapy. So going to her other situation, you've just got to maybe tell a friend that you're doing it and have them hold you accountable or be on the other line just until you get through to talk to somebody. Also, like, there, maybe look and see if there's any that you can email first and then they'll call you back, but then you have to be accountable for actually answering the phone. So it's just getting over that hurdle. Keep in mind that, like, you're going to therapy because you want help with a certain situation. You can't get help if you don't actually like follow through. So think of it like more as like a goal or like something to put on your to-do list. Like, I have to get this done so that I can work through my own issues.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's take a break.
Woo-hoo!
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
In our live stream, our listeners are always recommending and talking about books. So we're so excited about Book of the Month because this is something that our listeners are going to love.
This is a brand that I've been familiar with for a long time. I like love watching people talk about it. I love seeing what books people are reading and like what books they have available. And I love everything about it. So I'm so excited for someone who like... You know, the ease of getting into a book, a lot of it can feel like really daunting. So to have like a service where it's like you're going to get like high quality hardcover books, which that's my preferred way to read, at incredible prices, but also curated. So it's like amazing, cool, wonderful, great. This is, it's kind of like a straight shot into that, and something that book of the month you can do over and over and over again. And one of the great things about it is the longer you are part of the program, the cheaper the books get.
Book of the Month's mission is to help readers discover new books they love and promote the work of emerging authors. One of the amazing things about Book of the Month is that every aspect of Book of the Month experience is designed to be fun and special for readers. First of all, the books come in a bright blue box, which is very pretty. Me and Megan were just talking about them. There's also a fun app to pick your books and track reading progress. And as well, there are reading challenges and rewards.
And Book of the Month makes it really easy to decide what book to read next, which for me is like the biggest hurdle. I love when other people make choices for me, especially when they're good choices. And I'm like, cool, I can trust you. So each month, the editorial team reads through hundreds of new titles and they pick some of the best new books for you to choose from. All of the books are so good, you can't go wrong. And I mean that wholeheartedly. When we were picking like our selects for this, I was like, wait, this, I like all of them. This is hard. And I literally coordinated with Melissa and I was like, okay, so these are like my top ones. I'm assuming they will be yours. So don't pick the same one as me so then we can swap afterwards. And that's what we did.
So we got The Ministry of Time by Killian Bradley. And we also received The Return of Ellie Black by Emiko Jean.
The Ministry of Time is like, people are calling it like, if you're a fan of Outlander and like spy novels or time traveling books, it's quoted from Town and Country saying it's really innovative, fun storytelling. The Ministry of Time is definitely for you, and listed as 45 of the must-read books for spring 2024. And then Harper's Bazaar also said part time travel romance, part spy thriller, and 100% multifaceted joyride. When I tell you that, I was like, sold.
We're also excited about The Return of Ellie Black. And this one is about a missing girl who returns, but that isn't the end of the story. It's only the beginning. We both like a detective book. This one is 20 years since Detective Chelsea Calhoun's sister vanishes. Ever since, Chelsea has been searching for signs for closure for other missing girls. But happy endings are rare in Chelsea's line of work. Which, that sounds so intriguing. And I'm looking forward to reading this novel so much.
Can't wait. And we're so excited to usher in this new sponsor. And we know y'all are already going to love this. Plus, we've been recommended this so many times. Mm-hmm. So we've already got fans in you. Try the service yourself at bookofthemonth.com. And you can get your first book for $5 with code PETALS. That is your first book, $5 at bookofthemonth.com using code PETALS. Okay, guys, we are back from our break, and this is the moment we've all been waiting for. The insanely long and wild update. Yes. So brace fucking yourselves. Excited.
Me too.
Gird your loins.
All right, so we are with a caller from season 4, episode 26. I think it was the first episode that Nikki Lima was on. And so now if you will share a little bit about the original call.
Yeah, so my original call was, when I used to drink, I was drunk one day in my apartment and I found out that my boyfriend used to be in like a furry dating site before we were together, and was in a succubus Reddit thread that was really interesting. And at the time, the advice that y'all had given me was like, kind of dance around it, ask him about it, but like at the end of the day, was it anything that he was doing with anyone else, or like it was just stuff that he was into beyond any part of our relationship, cool, whatever. And so after that happened, I did kind of ask him, like, I was like, oh my god, like I was on Twitter the other day and I saw this thread about like succubus stuff. Have you heard anything about that? Because I don't know anything about my
me.
Existence.
That's literally like how I would have done it exactly. Like, so random, but guess what I stumbled upon?
Yeah, I was like, no idea. Twitter, yeah. Wild. And so, but he was like, you know, I've heard some anime people talk about, but I don't really know too much about it either. Google it. So I was like, okay, whatever. Like, tried. Cool. So I actually also happened to be the caller who called about Columbus Day that you guys talked about, where It was, yes. So this is the same boyfriend. We had been together for a little over 2 years. So flash forward, we had that issue. Talked to, I like followed your guys' advice, and we're seeing a couples therapist for a little bit. And that's kind of when I started thinking that maybe this relationship wasn't the future that I envisioned it was going to be.
Let's rewind a little bit. Just can you share with everyone what the Columbus Day, what the call was?
Yeah, so that call was basically, we had gotten into an argument because this is when things started to heat up in terms of the United States at least being more socially conscious and aware. And obviously that brings in discussions like your own personal lives. And we got into an argument one day because they tried to tell me that people hating on Columbus Day was like cancel culture and shit, and how it wasn't like, it was suppressing white people because it was Columbus Day stuff. And I told them it was full shit. And so we got into a huge argument about it.
Sorry, I'm just vocalizing my feelings.
Yeah.
That's also how I felt. I mean, that's how I felt like when I called about it. And I know when I called back, I gave an update and you guys were like, I'm happy, you're happy. But like, I think at the time I was just kind of lying to myself to like save face a little bit, because at this time period, we were actually in the process of buying a house together. So it wasn't just that we were dating or like living together. We were in the process of buying a house together. And he is 9 years older than I am. So I'm 22 and he turns 31 now in December. And so looking back at it now, it was a lot of that. But anyway, so that's what the Columbus Day call is about. And so we had started couples therapy and saw like maybe 2 or 3 sessions with like that one therapist. And then the therapist kind of made it seem like we didn't have issues. And so we just kind of stopped going, essentially, is kind of what happened. And he hadn't really wanted to go anyways. And when the therapist was like made it seem like, oh, you guys, like, this isn't like a, it's not like a serious thing. This isn't worth like breaking up over. Like, I see this kind of stuff all the time. And I felt like I was maybe then kind of over exaggerating.
Mm. You're in the South as well.
Yeah. Right. Was your therapist white?
No, it was actually a Black woman.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it was through BetterHelp. Wow. It wasn't like in person.
Yeah.
And so, but when that happened, I was just kind of like, okay, so then maybe I'm just like overthinking this and like they're right. And like, it's not the end of the world, because like, to some extent I was like, okay, I think he's a good person, or like, he doesn't actively do like racist things, I guess, that I know of. But it was like a whole like conflict in my mind that I just kind of dug down, because I was like, okay, we're buying a house together. Like, this is not the time, I guess, for me to freak out about it. Really, that would have been the ideal time for me to freak out about it.
Right.
But so flash forward to now, like Melissa said, I've called about 4 times. So each with new information. So I think you're really going to enjoy this, Megan.
Okay.
But so basically what happened was the first week of October, it's Wednesday, and he is like acting super weird. He goes to bed at like 5 p.m. on Wednesday. And I was like, okay, whatever. Maybe you're just having a day. That's happened to me too. I've gone to bed at 5 p.m. one day. Like, whatever. And
5 a.m. for me, but yes.
And so I let him go to bed, whatever. I finished the season finale of The 100. That's how I keep days tracked in my mind. Mm-hmm. And I go back upstairs. And when I go back upstairs, he like wakes up and he's like, and because we're in our house at this point. We closed on our house in April. And now this happened like the first week of this October. And so he's like acting really weird and he goes back downstairs. And I was like, something is off here. So instead of hacking into all of his accounts, because I was like, that would be a lot to do, I just Googled a username that he uses for everything. And I found it come up on a review for Fiverr, which is a website that people mm-hmm. use like traditionally for social media graphics or things of that nature.
Yeah.
But so when I look, the review is for someone who claims to be a witch from Slovenia and offers manifestation magic. And now this is okay. An immediate red flag for me, because I am into manifestation, zodiac, all of that stuff. And he always kind of thought it was stupid. Like, he wouldn't even download CoStar type deal. And so I was like, okay, that's weird. If you wanted something in that realm, like, you could have told me about it. But so then the review he left was like, this woman is giving me everything I needed in life. So I was like, okay, that's something is weird there. So I guessed his password and logged into his Fiverr account. And it turns out, ready, that he had paid $1,200 to this woman to perform succubus sex magic for succubus to be sent to him in his dreams. So that was my first call. I was that update.
There's more. First of all, Fiverr, like, I only think about Fiverr for, like, schools, you know, making essays, graphics and things. Mm-hmm. Wow. I didn't know it went that far.
Oh my God, ripped the fuck off.
When I tell you $1,200, which, I mean, financial security is something that's important to me. He makes a good amount of money. He's 31. But we own a house together. I feel like $1,200 is not something you spend without telling someone else. Maybe like $500. Oh. But like $1,200.
So I'm like, how can I get in on this business?
Oh my God. I want to become a scammer.
Yeah. So this is the thing. This is like the kicker too. And I know this like now, but like I said, I have various updates. Is when I asked him about it, confronted him about it, we did the whole conversation. He doesn't even believe that it was a thing. He essentially paid $1,200 for something he knew was not going to function. And ready disgusting, because all white men are disgusting. Disclaimer, but I guess true. He was sending her pictures of his cum on symbols that they did to complete the program thing. And when I tell you the background of this picture was a public bathroom, I vomited. I threw up. I honest to God, it's Wednesday, like 2 a.m. into Thursday. Thursday, I had to go in person to my office because I have to mandatorily do one day a week in person, whatever. So that Thursday is the day I'm going in. And it's 2 a.m. and I'm vomiting into the toilet because I see that he's been masturbating in public to take pictures of his cum on symbols.
Wow. Also, I just want to say you're the only other person I've ever heard. Like, I've had things in my life where I'm like so shocked. I am like not even, I like just throw up, and I've never heard anyone else do that. So that makes me feel better.
That's good because it was very shocking. But I was
like
deeply disgusted.
Am I in a rom-com? Literally, I felt like I was in a movie because I was like, I'm sorry, I just heard some disgusting information and I threw up, like, actually, like, okay, Cameron Diaz, sit down. Like, the fuck?
Mm-hmm. And so there's more. That was my first update call. Like Melissa said, there were several. So that happens Wednesday into Thursday. I confronted him Wednesday because I just don't, what else am I going to sleep with that information? That's funny. So I go downstairs and we talk about it, whatever. I'm upset. I'm crying. He was like, this happened in July. Like, I saw the timestamps for what I was reading or whatever. And I was like, okay, well, you're sleeping in our bedroom today, so I don't know what to tell you. And we'll talk about it tomorrow because it's 2 a.m. and I have to wake up at 7 to be at work. So I don't have time for this. So then Thursday rolls around. I somehow get through doing my job. And then at this point in time, I also booked a tarot card reading for Friday because I was like, someone needs to tell me what I'm doing with my life. And my standing therapist appointment was for Saturday morning. So I go through the tarot card reading and I talk with my my individual therapist. I started with her in August. So she knows like a good deal about my existence. And so I do that. And at the end of this, the tarot card reading and my therapist kind of convinces me, like, maybe this is something you can work out, like, you own a house together, whatever. Like, this was something that happened online. Like, maybe this is something you can deal with. And so my therapist was like, write a needs list and you'll like present it to him or whatever. And then you guys can go from there. So I like wrote it out. I gave it to him Saturday night. Or my needs list was like, I need full access to your financial accounts. Like, I want your passwords to your emails, like 24/7, I don't care. And it was just like stuff like that. And he would like agree to everything. And so on Saturday, I was like, okay, so maybe this will be like cool. Like maybe this will be something that with like help we can like work towards. Because at the end of the day, I'm thinking back to my original succubus call, where it's kind of like, this is something that cannot be fulfilled by any human being. This is just like an imaginative thing. And so that kind of like, it made me feel like maybe it wasn't totally cheating. It was just something like he hid from me and was gross. And he obviously needs help to deal with at least the public masturbation thing. And so that was Saturday. So then Sunday, he went to his friend's house to go watch a football game. I know, we're in a pandemic. There's only so much that I could do. But and so he went to a friend's house to watch a football game. And I was like, something is weird here, because I had a dream Saturday night and I was like, there's more going on. And we talked about my needs list. He was like, I didn't do anything else. Nothing else happened. But so Sunday, I hacked into his desktop computer because he's a big video gamer. And it just so happens that the same pin codes he uses for everything was the pin codes we used to get into our house. So he's stupid, or he wanted to be caught. And I log in and I find Tinder messages, Instagram DMs, a disgusting, not safe for work Discord chat where essentially boys just send each other a bunch of porn. And he was sending them nudes of girls he used to fuck when he was like single or whatever. And I was like, thank fucking God I never sent this man anything, because we had been pretty much together every day since I met him.
Yeah.
And because I was like, I'll obviously end up here. But it was like screenshots of like their Facebook profiles and their Instagram profiles. So you could like see who they were. And then like nudes on nudes on nudes. And it was him, just him, but a bunch of other disgusting Discord gamer guys. So never dating a gamer again, in case you're curious. But it was disgusting. Like, it literally, some of the stuff I saw, I was like, I feel like I almost, like, I guess this is legal, but I feel like I have to report it to someone.
No, it's not legal. It's not. If they're distributing nudes without
consent,
the women's consent, it's not legal.
Well, maybe I should report to someone, because it was literally like, but when I tell you the disgusting things that they were sharing, even stuff that they could find publicly for porn, it was literally them sending like porn to each other back and forth. And it was gross. Like, it was like that type of, like, the kind of stuff that you see where it's like woman getting mistreated, like beaten up, like that kind of porn. And it was, it was a lot. But so then I see all of that, and then I go into his emails, and then I find emails where he's asking for the location of like a happy spa in Charlotte or something. And so that's what got me, because everything else was just like Instagram, Tinder, like, you know, like regular cheating stuff. But yeah, I took screenshots of everything. I have voice recordings of all our conversations, because I'm afraid his dad is going to make the house thing really difficult, because he's an old Baptist white man from a very small city in North Carolina. So
he's the villain of the movie.
Yes. But so I'm like protected in that sense or whatever, but I just wish I would have checked his email, because he got a notification that someone logged into his Instagram, and literally I had already screenshotted all the DMs that I needed to, and I saw them delete before my eyes. And then I got a call from him, and he was like, are you in my Instagram? And I was like, I don't know. Are you scared that I'm in your Instagram? And he was like, well, no, I wouldn't be. And I was like, really? I wouldn't find anything in your Instagram. He was like, I'm coming home. And I was like, you don't have to come home if you don't fucking want to. Like, we're good here. But so he came home, we got into a huge argument about it. That's when I did the voice recording. And I was like, you need to like figure this out, like whatever, because like that was the end of my straw. So then Saturday going into Sunday, at this point, I'm still in Charlotte. I'm still having to stay at the house because I don't have, first of all, I'm not going to burden a friend with having me stay there because I have a cat as well in the middle of a pandemic. Like, maybe things had been different. But like at this point, I don't have anywhere to stay in Charlotte that I feel comfortable enough to like do anything. So Saturday night, I was like, okay, I'll figure it out. On Sunday, I'll call my parents and see what I can finagle from there. But so then Saturday night, I couldn't sleep again. And I was like, I'm missing something else to this story. So I went into the guest room where he was sleeping and took his phone, and I logged in. And that's when I found out that he had been paying sex workers to meet up with him at hotels while he's supposed to be at work to have sex since February. Yeah. So
the audacity white men have.
In case you're curious, the sex workers in Charlotte are very safe. Yes, yes, yes. Yeah.
Obviously. Yeah. But they're very safe.
Yeah, they make like them send ID, like pictures of their IDs and like their LinkedIn profiles to make sure they're real. And I was like, you go.
Oh, fuck yeah, girl. Yeah. Yeah, fuck yeah, bitch. But like
yeah, since February. So not only was it in a pandemic that I have been, I feel, taking as seriously as possible. Like, if I have to go into work because they make me, like, I'll go into work, but I haven't gone to a restaurant. Like, my parents have been bugging me forever to like go out, even to like an open air seating. I'm like, gotta go. Like, I'll go grocery shopping because my house doesn't have like a delivery area yet because the address is new. So like that kind of stuff. And to find out that not only was he like doing this, but like in the middle of a pandemic. So he obviously cares two fucking shits about my health. But on top of that, I asked him, I was like, have you been using condoms? Because at this point in time, we hadn't been, because we owned a house together and, you know, I'm stupid. So not stupid, but you know, made the decision that
I did. Yeah, you were in a, you thought you were in a committed relationship and, where, you know.
Yeah, but so at this point, I'm like, dude, tell me at least you're fucking using condoms. He's like, I honestly wouldn't be able to tell you. So at this point, it's not only risking me pandemic wise. I have to, I did go, I'm good, in case you're wondering, to get those results back. But I did have to like go through all of that as well. And then on top of that, this happened starting in February. We didn't close on our house until literally the end of April, which means for those, whatever, two, almost 3 months that we were like going through the process and getting all this paperwork that we needed and everything, he was actively doing this and still pushing me to end up buying a house with him. Because it wasn't even so much this was my idea. If it had been up to me, we would have moved into an apartment together and like done a lease for a year. Because we didn't live together before this. This was literally us moving in together and buying a house. But my parents were like, this will be a good financial investment for you eventually too, because the price is just where they were, you know, all of that stuff. Yeah. And so, but so that means he was literally pushing me while he was having sex with these sex workers to close on a house. And we ended up closing. All while he was doing this from February until now that I found out. And the last one that I found was from the last week of September. So when I found this out, it was literally like 8 days ago.
Oh my, did you like storm into your therapist or like whatever, like virtually to your therapist to be like, excuse me, let me tell you all of it. Like, holy shit.
So I saw her Sunday or Saturday morning or whatever. We had a phone call on Saturday night because I see her through BetterHelp again. And so she was like, I'm washing my kitchen right now. If you want to like call me, we can talk more about it. And I was like, bless you, Katie. So we talked about it Saturday night. And then Sunday, this is like 4 a.m. So when I saw the sex worker stuff or whatever, I ran to the guest room. I threw the phone in his face and I started yelling at him in Spanish because what else am I supposed to do with my life? And he started crying. He had like a fit where it was like bad enough where I was like this close to dialing 911 because I didn't fear for like my own safety, but he was like doing the like masculine, like punching a hole in the wall, trying to break my phone, like being like upset that I got caught and like not knowing how to deal with my fucking emotions. And so it was like that. And so I texted her at 4 a.m. and she responded to me at 7 a.m. on Monday or like Sunday morning. And she was like, you can call me whenever you want to. We're good. And I was like, okay, I'll give you a call like this time. And so we talked about it. And I told him I wanted him to leave the house. But he ended up throwing like such a huge deal about it that when Monday morning came around, he left to go to work. And I just took my cat and like everything I needed, like essentially to survive. And I did end up going to that friend's house for Monday. Cause I was like, if I come back and he, and I'm here like on Monday, I don't know if it's going to get violent. I don't know how it's going to be. Yeah. So my parents were like, you need to go somewhere else. And then my friend was nice enough. He was like, stay with me on Monday night. Like, well, we can deal with it like on a Monday night. So I was like, okay. So I literally dipped on Monday. I ended up calling his cousin to be like, someone needs to be home when he gets here because I don't know if he's going to hurt himself. And I know that's not my fault, but I also don't want to deal with the complexity of that either. So then his cousin came there and then I ended up staying in Charlotte for that work week because I still had to go in one day at my office. And my friend also happens to be my coworker. So I ended up going in on the same day and then coming back and I ended up staying that week. And then I was able to drive down that weekend to where my parents live, where I have been quarantined ever since.
Wow. So what's happening with, like, how do you feel like valid? Cause there is something about like when you know, and like, I think we've all been there when like, you know, that someone is not like giving you the whole truth. And then there can be this kind of like determination, like I'm going to figure this shit out. And then there comes a point where it's satisfying, but then there's also that like dip of like, well, fuck, like what now? So like, where, how are you? What are you feeling at? Like, was it a good enough? Because even you said, like, even at the beginning of this update, when you were talking about like the couple therapist, how like you, it like making you feel like you being like, oh, maybe this isn't the right relationship, but essentially everybody else kind of telling you like, or maybe it is. Like, was it, how do you feel now? Like, good or?
Yeah. So I feel good that I guess, like I felt like something was weird since we saw the couple's therapist or whatever, but like I kept chalking it up to like, maybe the pandemic is affecting him as well. He's actually a veteran and has struggled with that a little bit. So I was like, okay, so I kept giving him excuses and I was talking to my therapist about it too, but I felt like something was wrong. So I feel validated in the sense that like I was right. And like, mm-hmm. I know to trust my intuition because I did start feeling like something was up in like March, but I blamed it on being in isolation and like all mm-hmm. that stuff. And like ever since then, and he said it at one point too, he was like, you tried like so hard to like talk to me and like make sure everything was good. And like, I just kept telling you I was fine and I was fine or whatever. And my therapist was like, I mean, you did try. So I also feel kind of good about the fact that regardless of what happened, like it wasn't, it had nothing to do with me. It had everything to do with him. And I still like tried, I guess. But I've also just accepted that I'm never going to know everything that happened because obviously he kept lying to me at those like three individual stages where I kept asking like, anything else? Like this would be the time to tell me. So who knows if I found everything? Who knows if I didn't? But like at the end of the day, does it really matter? Because obviously if he's willing to lie to me, not only for that long of a time period, but like every time I caught him, it was like a different effortless lie, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So.
Wow. So did you guys like officially, like, did you have like the breakup conversation or was it like, cause like, this is like, it's a steady decline of like all of the stories over mm-hmm. and over again. So like, was there a point, like what was the official conversation you guys had, or is it just like peace?
So if it were up to me, I would have ghosted him. That would have been very satisfying.
You have a house together.
You have a fucking house.
I know. So it eventually, so he didn't know I would left Monday, and it, when he got home on that Monday, he was like, are like your stuff or like you're gone, like where? And I took my cat, so that was like a very mm-hmm. obvious indicator that I was like. And so but so that was like, he kept calling me and stuff, and I just kept declining his call because I was like, I don't have the mental capacity to deal with any of this. And I knew mm-hmm. his cousin was there as well, so I didn't feel like I needed to respond in order to make sure he didn't harm himself or anything. So it was like all that week he kept calling me, and he still continues to text me like stupid fucking shit. But then finally that weekend, I called him to tell him he needed to leave the house because I was going with my same friend to go pick up like some more essentials that I needed, because Monday I literally just grabbed like a pair of jeans and a t-shirt, my cat, and I left. And so I had to go grab like some more clothes. I wanted to grab like my passport and like cell phone, everything, just in case, because you never know. And I was
smart.
Like, yeah,
you're fucking smart, dude.
Thanks. But I was like, I don't know, like if he's capable of doing this, what else he's capable of doing. So I like grabbed everything important essentially. And when I called him to tell him he needed to be out of that house, he was like, but like, am I ever going to see you again? Like, what's going to happen? And I was like, what do you mean? Are you ever going to see me again? Like, I was like, I might start a YouTube channel. You can follow me there. he was convinced, like to your point. So I hadn't had that official breakup conversation when this happened, because in my mind, I was like, I left. I don't understand.
Yeah.
Could be any. And, but no, to your point, like he called me and he's going through, he's like, I talked to my parents. He was like, I know I like kind of like forced you into this house. So whatever you want to do to feel more comfortable again. He was like, if that means you don't want to live in the house and you take your name off and I stay here, that's fine. He was like, if you want to sell the house, we can do that too. And then he was like, if you want to go back to living in an apartment, like you originally wanted together. And then he was like, or we could even
together.
Yes. He said, as in like he was convinced that this was just something that like I left because I was being emotional. And Cancer Moon, but not that Cancer Moon. And so he was like, yeah, so he's telling me this. He's like, if you want, we can live apart again like we did when we first moved to Charlotte. And I was like, I was speechless. I was like, I don't understand how you came to this conclusion. And so that was, I guess, our breakup conversation, because I literally told him he was fucking stupid. And then he was like, what do you mean? And I was like, that's not happening or whatever. And so then the house thing has been a series of kind of back and forth between me and his father, because his father also happens to be a realtor. And so mm-hmm. it's been a little bit of back and forth, but I think where we ended up is there's something called an assumption of a loan, where essentially when two people are on a mortgage, one person can assume all responsibilities and let that second person off. And he's going to return my investment back to me, which includes mm-hmm. my half of the down payment and then my half of the mortgage that I've been paying from May to now. So it was like all of like 5 months. So that feels good, because at least I'm getting my investment back and what I was hoping was going to be like a financial investment later on or whatever. I did end up finding an apartment that's actually in an area in that I've always wanted to live in, and I just wasn't ever able to afford it. But with COVID, they were giving really good deals. And obviously, the last thing I want to be doing is having to move in the middle of everything. But at the end of the day, I have to go back to for my job to make sure I'm financially stable and everything. And I really do like the city. Yeah. So that worked out really well. I found a great floor plan. It's like a triangle. It makes me very happy. The complex is very industrial. My mom saw it like through the virtual tours. And she was like, this is a really good place for you. And I also happened to be the person who called that a man followed me up to my apartment like about a year and a half ago.
Oh my gosh.
You guys have answered a lot of my calls. But so this building is very safe. And like it's a lot of like key lock things. Like it's like a luxury type building in the sense that there's like a security guard there and all hours, that sort of thing. So I wouldn't even have to call a cop to deal with anything. We have like our own private security, which makes me feel better. The garage is all like locked, everything's secure. So that made me feel really good too, because that was one of my things is I'm going to have to go back to an apartment and now I'll have to be worried again about something happening like what happened last year when I first moved. But I don't have to deal with that. And so everything just kind of seems like it fell into place and like maybe this was the right step for it to happen, which is why I think I am not as like devastated as I was like when I broke up like my high school boyfriend to go to college or anything like that.
No, like the pieces of your life, like all of them are falling into place. Like the place you always like area you always wanted to live in, couldn't afford, like all of that kind of stuff is like great. And I'm sure you would already do this, but I would tell the security guard, like right off the bat, like, hey, I like, I'm living alone. I've had one incident where someone has like followed me and like really freaked me out. Just like as a heads up, I had like a very crazy ex-boyfriend who like would show like would just like a bad relationship in general. And I told like the security guard of the building that I like lived in. And he very much like he like would like every single fucking Postmate that came in, like not even just for me, was like so diligent about it, would like actually walk outside the building and make sure when I would get into my car, he would like see me and knew all of that stuff. But and this is like, I'm so happy for you and like the arc that this has taken, like pieces falling into place. I do need to like note on the fact that your ex is 9 years older than you and you're interacting with his father who is like, I'm just the idea. You 22, you said, right?
Yes.
You're 22. And so like, let's just, it's you interacting as like the most mature party in this relationship, you interacting with some man who is most likely in his 60s.
Yes. Yeah. He's actually closer to his 70s. But so then this is the other part is I would like to say like, as much like you guys always talk about like age differences, like they're like, it's a weird thing. Like you always have to, like, you feel like it's cool or whatever, like he's giving you attention. And I think I called back, I don't know if this ever aired, with like advice about a girl who was going through it, but it was like, she was like almost minor type thing. But I had called back giving the advice. I was like, well, you know, you need to like be aware of like life stages or whatever. Because at the time we were in the same life stage. He was doing his second degree. We met like when we were both in college type thing. So like I thought that was like enough, but just for anyone listening, it's not, and it's still creepy, even if you guys are in the same life stage.
It is. And it's, so, I'm so glad you can like see that now and say that, because it's so fucking hard for people to recognize. And like, there are very slight exceptions to like that kind of like rule or whatever, but it's not even necessarily exceptions. It's more like things that you can see past and like, it is like, it's always weird. It's always going to be like, there's always something more to it. It's not just like, oh, age is just not, there's always something to it. And some people can look past that. Like some people really can, but does that mean that it's like that weirdness doesn't still exist, or like what the reasoning behind all of it is? Like it's not. And the thing with it is like, it's the power dynamic, especially we live in like a patriarchal society. Like when you have like a man who is older, who already assumes so much power in this country, in the world. Yeah. And then being in a relationship with someone younger, that power dynamic, even though we're talking about like, oh, maturity, way more mature.
Yeah.
But it's that power dynamic. It's like, I'm already, even we're the same age, same everything, I hold more power over you. But then when that age thing switches, it's even more.
Yeah. And I will say, like, I'm very fortunate and lucky that, like I said, finances have always been really important to me. So I always made sure I had like a savings he didn't know about, where I was like good for 6 months if like something ever happened or anything. And like, I feel so lucky for that too, because what if I didn't and I would have had to have stayed in the house?
Right.
No, that's, dude, you're that's fucking smart.
You are smart, thanks, but there are a lot of women right now in the pandemic that are stuck in the house with their physical or mental abusers and they can't get out. So, yeah, I'm glad that you had a plan and that you trusted your intuition.
Yeah. But so those were my crazy updates. Kind of funny how I called like 4 bajillion times and everyone saw this coming except me.
We all have to figure those things out like for ourselves. And we had it on, I think it was one of the more recent episodes. Maybe we recorded it or it's already up. I don't remember what it was, but about like at a certain point, we can know something. We can like not trust somebody, but we can still like choose to believe them, even though deep down we don't. Mm-hmm. And like, that's fine. And I think a lot of people beat themselves up over like, oh, why didn't I leave sooner? Why didn't I do X, Y, and Z? And it's like, but at the end of the day, everything that happened, it didn't just like wash over you. Like you kept it, like you take note of it, you like file it away in your brain. And then when it comes to the point where like, it is that breaking point, it happens. And then you can be like, okay, I trusted my intuition and my instinct. And just because like sometimes like I wanted to make it work and I like made these choices to hope that it would work doesn't make me like it doesn't make that a mistake that I did that. It's like something that I had to go through to get to, like this point.
I'm glad that you're out of that situation.
Me fucking too. Yeah.
Let's hope the next time I call it's about a really pretty girl who I'm nervous about going on a date with once the vaccine comes out. That's the goal in life.
I love it. That's the best. And you guys have a beautiful apartment together and you just have lots of plants everywhere. And then she also has a cat too. And then the cats become best friends.
Yeah, that's my life. Yeah,
I like it. Wow. Well, we're all hoping. Fingers crossed, ma'am. Maybe
we're rooting for you.
Maybe we'll spend the $1,200 to manifest. Well, there's no succubus involved, but maybe we'll do our own scamming witch manifest for that for you.
Thanks. I really appreciate it. They're raging all over Fiverr. Like the amount of people I saw who messaged everywhere. They all hide under, not hide, but like they don't promote that part of what they do. A lot of it is like witches, like manifestation, magic, rituals, that sort of stuff. But they all do some sort of sex type.
Well, Melissa, let's start this shit.
I know.
It's the next Don't Blame Me endeavor.
I mean, we would do it. Wow.
We would.
Holy fuck.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for sharing all that. Yeah. And I know that you're still like actively going through it, but you seem very strong and I'm glad that, you know, that things are working out.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I just figured
you're smart as hell.
Thanks. I just figured at least I hope someone listens to this and like goes back and is like doesn't go through anything that's like aggressive, but like can see like me, I've been arguing with myself and even with you guys and all the advice that you guys have given. If you go back through the calls of like, is this going to work? Like, is this something I should deal with? And I always kind of made myself deal with it to like almost meet expectations other people had set for me. And it's not fucking worth it. I'm 22 and look at where I got myself now. So now I have like the rest of my existence to go do things that actually make me happy.
Holy tits, everybody.
Yeah.
Wild. Fucking wild. She's an inspiration to us all. And yes,
thank you so much for sharing that saga. I was going to say story, but this was a saga.
The Twilight Saga has nothing on this. Did you ever watch those movies?
I watched the first one because my sister had a seizure and it was the first time she had a seizure. And she loved the books and the movie. And so I stayed up and watched the first one with her over and over again.
Oh, you're such a good sister. So that's a movie to watch. The first one's probably the best.
Well, which it's terrible. So
saying a lot. Well, we hope you guys enjoyed this episode. If you want to call in for an upcoming one, please leave us a voicemail at 310-694-0976. And international listeners, you can leave us a voicemail at you can leave us an audio message at meganpodcast@gmail.com. Oh, I forgot to say this in the beginning of the episode. Please write down what you are going to say. Practice. It needs to be under 3 minutes. And you also need your parents' permission or be over 18. So we appreciate, and you can all appreciate, like shout out, hey, Pisces caller, you're very sweet. You didn't write it down. We can all collectively agree. You didn't write it down. Mm-hmm. And it's a little more all over the place, which is, it's just not what we, it's just easier for us to follow when we've got more concrete. Please get out there and vote and follow us on social. Don't Blom Meme Pod, our Patreon, if you want to watch the video version of this. And we also have our live streams. We do 2 a month. They're very fun. It also helps us continue this show. And we love doing this show. Where can people find you on the internet?
They can find me at She Is Not Melissa. Where can they find you?
They can find me at Megan Rinks. Okay, guys. We will see you next time.
Goodbye.
Don't Blame Me is a production by me, executive produced by Melissa DeMonts, edited by Katrina Henning, and music by Ryan Hunter and Giacomo Picasso.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.